Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay. All right, then. Let's go in the audience again there. Looking at your feeble winnings there?
Yes.
Okay. You can sell the book, maybe.
Well, I'm going to keep it just because you wrote it.
Well, thank you so much. Why do you say it with such menace? I don't understand what you've got against me. What did I ever do to you? How are you doing? Pretty good?
Fine, thanks. Fine. Yeah. Fine.
Fine, thanks. Fine. Retired now, you said?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. After what? Well, you want to stand up here so that people know I'm not doing both voices. Yeah.
40 years.
40 years of what? Hard labor?
Teaching chemistry and physics at Monona Grove.
Yeah. Has chemistry changed in those years? I mean, do you have to learn different, of course, new periodic table, new elements?
Add the elements, but yeah. As far as the organization and the flow of the periodic table, it pretty well stays the same. The 1s, 2s, 3, 2p levels, 3d levels, 4f levels, and all of that.
Are you insulting me, or what are you saying? I have no idea what you're saying. You give me like Alex stuff here.
These are the levels of the periodic table.
So. I mean, what do the levels mean?
Well, there are different ways that they react with other chemicals.
Oh, the reagent sort of thing?
Yeah, the metals on one side, the left side, the non-metals on the right side.
Ferrous and non-ferrous?
Yes.
This is all I know here. I'm really reaching for all
you were an English teacher, weren't you?
Yeah,
that's right. We had the, they were on the first floor, and the English teachers.
Yeah, we never really talked with you guys. I can see why now, actually. It's not...
They never came up to the to the heights, to the science department.
No, okay.
So that was... Yeah.
But, I mean, chemistry is pretty much the same still. But there's new branches of chemistry.
Yes.
Probably in 40 years, there's a whole new branches of chemistry.
Well, chemistry and physics are kind of, unifying the ideas in chemistry and in physical chemistry and organic chemistry. It's becoming a single subject, more or less, especially in the lower levels. In college, of course, chemistry is, when you're very specific, you're into the chemical.
You get your organic people.
Yeah, organic people. Yeah. But mostly I'm a physics teacher.
Oh, it's physics. Okay.
Yes, mostly. That was
physics goes into mathematics, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So it's
so
one
what the heck are you? What have you been doing for 40 years? Yeah. Have you been doing math?
Physics and chemistry.
Yeah,
in two different sections. Juniors, chemistry. Seniors, physics.
Yeah. Because we get physics people from the university coming in here so often. And they're all competing branches of, to get the plasma people.
Yes, very, very specific.
Yeah, you really can't talk to a plasma person. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I noticed that. I also, in high school, we have to teach it all. Mostly classic. And.
What do you lean towards as far as physics goes? Are you more of a plasma guy, more of a...
I'm an atomic and nuclear physics guy. That's my interest, yeah. But when you're in high school, you don't really specialize that much.
No, you don't, because you don't want to overwhelm them.
No. I never overwhelmed them, I'm afraid.
No, so how does retirement, is it?
Retirement is wonderful. I live between California and Madison. And
how do you do that? What is between there? Omaha?
It's a flyover country.
You live in Omaha, okay. And then what else?
I live in California, live in Madison, and part-time in the summertime.
How do you do that?
When it snow starts to fall, we go back to California.
I thought you'd come here for the snow, wouldn't you?
I would, but...
Some people don't care for the snow so much. Because you always hear people say, I miss the change of seasons. I miss the snow. Not you, though.
I think I would, but as I said, the person I live with doesn't.
Say no more. And where do you live in California?
In Avila Beach. It's halfway. San Francisco's on top. L.A.'s in the bottom. We're right in the middle by Pismo Beach. And
cool.
San Luis Obispo, where Cal Poly is. Cal Poly played football here.
Unfortunately, they did, yeah.
And they almost beat the University of
Wisconsin. I remember that game. That was very close.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, very nice to have you. And your name once again?
Bill Ziegler.
Bill Ziegler, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you here, Bill. I'll see you out at the beach there, though. Have you got any guest facilities there at the beach?
You can come at our house anytime.
I can come there, but can I stay is the question.
Certainly. We could do the show from your house, from our house.
We could, really.
It's a mile off the beach, and I think you would enjoy that.
Well, let's do a show. I don't want to come to do a show there. I want to come there and just hang out and enjoy the beach. It's a nice beach and everything, right?
Beautiful beach. Yeah, beautiful beach.
You do like surfing and all that stuff?
Yeah, right.
Body surfing or
what? Body watching.
Okay, explain that on the ride home. All right, okay, all right now. Is Alec related to you?
He's my nephew.
Your nephew, yeah. Has he always been like this?
Pretty much.
What are you going to do, huh?
One of your fishing buddies, Lynn.
Lynn Blenker. You know, are you from, he's from Stevens Point, around there, actually. He's from Blenker, actually.
Yeah, you know, I don't know where he's from, but he used to be my current neighbor's old roommate. And so I met him through them.
That's what everyone says about Lynn. My current neighbor's old roommate. That's what he's known as by a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's really
kind
nice.
Of guy.
Yeah, good guy.
And a true fisherman. He would have gone along with the mayor. Here's someone put on their card, how does one remain anonymous on this show? Easy enough. Caroline Templeton is here with the three generations of the Bone family. That's it? The three of you? That's smaller than I thought it would be. It sounded really good on paper. There's just three of them. That's pretty good, though, when you get all three generations in one compact space. Let's go meet the Bones. Are you doing pretty good?
Pretty good.
How are you?
Fine. Still vertical.
Still vertical. Okay. I'm starting to say stuff like that, too. At a certain age, we start saying things like that. You know?
That's right, yeah.
Still vertical. How are you? Good?
Doing good.
Still horizontal?
Yeah.
Your age? You should be. It's a good thing. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good to see you. The Bones? Yeah. It's the Bones. Three generations of Bones, ladies and gentlemen. Can I get you up? Let's see what that looks like. Three generations of Bones. So should we start with you? Are you the elder generation?
I am. Well, my father's 98 and a half, so he's still working.
Is he?
I've been retired for a long time.
Where is he working?
He's a physician in Illinois. He works in Springfield, lives in Jacksonville.
So the Bones are from the Springfield area? Can we say that?
From the Jacksonville area, yeah, west of Springfield.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And you, so which Bone are you?
I'm David. I'm a retired judge.
Retired judge. Could you retire from that? I thought it was like the mafia. If you're a judge, you can't really retire, can you?
There's a point where you've had enough.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What sort of judge were you?
I hope I was a good one.
Various types, aren't there?
Right. I was a circuit judge.
Circuit judge?
I guess you have circuit judges here in Wisconsin?
No, I haven't seen one, so I imagine we do. I hope I don't find out.
General jurisdiction, yeah.
A circuit judge, yeah.
I've heard him referred to as Hanging Judge Bone.
Judge Bone doesn't sound, I don't think I want to appear before Judge Bone. It's not the kind of thing that, oh boy, Judge Bone is hearing my case. But okay, that's good. And then now, so this, then, you are?
I'm Caroline, his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And where are you?
I live in Oregon, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I have my daughter, Margaret, here.
Hi. Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Are you? Okay. Are you having a good summer?
Yeah. My grandpa just came over from Illinois yesterday, and he brought a viola, so we need to get that repaired for me, and that's pretty much it.
That's cool. Do you play the viola?
No, I haven't learned yet, but I'm kind of learning on my own.
As of yesterday, yeah, she's a viola player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you excited about it?
Yes, I'm okay. It's very easy, but I just need to work on the tuning a little bit.
And so forth.
Yes.
And all the other stuff, the bowing and all that. And
tuning isn't very good.
Do you play an instrument now?
Yes. I don't think I play any other instrument. I do a sport, karate.
Oh, you do karate. Okay. Does that help with the viola, you think? Some of the chops on it?
No. I'm more likely breaking my viola.
What level are you in karate? Do you have the various belts or something?
I have a yellow gold. I mean a yellow black.
Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah.
How many years have you been doing it?
About three.
Yeah, karate playing, a karate viola player.
Yes.
Yeah. Your name again is?
Margaret.
Caroline.
And what are we doing, Caroline?
I'm a registered nurse at the Peds Clinic.
Oh,
so I stab little children all day.
Okay, wonderful. There you have it, the Bones in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. Three generations of Bones. What a nice group. What are we going to give the bones?
Well, that's a great question. For the youngest bone, how about she could learn and have fun at the same time with the Flashmaster, which is a handheld computer that makes math flashcards obsolete. And then for the elder bones and the middle bone, they could beat the Midwestern summer heat with scrumptious wines from the Wollersheim Winery, producers of award-winning wines of international renown.
There you go. Thank you, Bone. Very nice to meet you all. Judge Bone, in case you go back to it, I'm going to be nice to him. Jim Conkle is here from Franklin, Wisconsin. Oh, that's you, huh? How are you?
Fine, fine.
Still vertical?
Yes.
Can you drive, too?
No.
I'd need a Pope Mobile or something if you can drive standing up, and that doesn't...
Yeah, something like that.
Open your sunroof and stand up. And.
Oh, I don't have a sunroof.
You don't have a sunroof?
No. No. Okay.
What are you driving?
Prius.
A Prius? Oh, okay. So I said, all right, Jim. Since retiring, do I drive slower or is everyone driving faster? But you're driving a Prius, so it's not even like driving.
Well, it is, but I slow down a lot.
You slow down because you're driving a Prius and you're trying to get 50 miles to the gallon, right?
I do without any problem, yeah.
Oh, sure you do. They all say that. Not without any problem because you're always in front of me and you got a problem. If you're driving like at 27 miles an hour because that'll get you through all the stoplights without stopping, right?
What I drove 75 coming here from Franklin.
There's stoplights on I-94 or whatever.
Well, when the light is red a half a block ahead, then I take my foot off the accelerator.
Notice that.
Slow down, yes. So then I can go through without stopping.
Yes, I know. Doesn't that strike you that it might be a little bit annoying to anyone behind you who's trying to drive, 5 miles over? Big deal.
Why do they try to get to the right to the light before it turns green?
They're not driving a Prius. That's why. And they got to get somewhere. You can.
Well, I drove that when I drove larger cars. Yeah. I drove the same way. Yeah.
Do you keep track of your mileage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what's the best? You always did. Okay. Is it better now than it used to be? Have some things improved? Your mileage has improved, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
What's your record so far in your Prius?
52.
52?
Right.
You get 50 without any problem. If you really annoy everyone behind you, the 16 people behind you, you get an extra 2 miles to the gallon?
That's correct, yeah.
Hey, what is that? $6. I'll give you the $6. Stop doing it.
Well, no, I won't.
Good to meet you.
Okay, thank you.
That's Jim Conkle. He's a great guy, but don't get behind him, Chris. And you are?
I'm Elaine Conkle.
I'm
very well. I'm very glad to be
here. To drive with? I mean, when you're next to him and he's...
He's wonderful. He's a very safe driver.
It's wonderful. You're made for each other. It takes a special woman to be with a Prius driver. Right? Where are all your hipsters? Ron from Akron. Do we have hipsters in Wisconsin? Oh, that's you. Hey, I got to go back here again. Excuse me. Are you any hipster? Do you have hipsters? You have hipsters in Akron, right?
We have all kinds of hipsters in Akron. Walking around here, there's no ironic facial hair. And it's everywhere in Akron. So you have facial hair. It's just not ironic.
Yeah. Well, at what point does facial hair get ironic?
Well, it's like when they have the curly mustaches pulled up or the Grizzly Adams beard. Yeah. You have those here. They're just not ironic.
See, that's why we can't wrap our heads around that concept of when like this man, this man has a beard here.
Oh, it's not big enough. It would have to be bigger than that.
Can you make your beard a little more ironic? Okay.
But no, it'd be serious though here.
Yeah.
Like this gentleman's mustache there. Yeah. That you'd have that.
That's a good mustache.
Yeah,
right?
But it'd be on like a 22-year-old, and it would be ironic.
But he can't help that. That's unfair to accuse him of not being...
He's being serious with that mustache. Yeah. He means that. Yeah, no, it's not ironic. So,
and is that true of dress as well? I mean, what is...
Yeah, you'd have to have a plaid shirt with pearlized snaps. Remember those?
Yes.
Yeah, and then little ankle boots for men.
What about no pants? Or you?
Jeans and... Yeah.
Probably are there ironic jeans?
Yeah, probably colored, like bright yellow or red.
I've seen no one like that around town. Do we have...
You're just not hanging out in the right parts of town, man.
Okay.
We got lots of hipsters around
here. You do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sarah has hipsters. The rest of us don't.
We were in Chicago, and there were no hipsters around there either. It was very strange.
Ten's the closer you get to Brooklyn, I think, is sort of how it works, isn't it?
Maybe, yeah. That's, we have all kinds of them in Akron, though.
Okay, that's surprising. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ron. Yep. Ron from Akron, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hipster Report. We're looking for him. Oh, what do the women do? How do the women get ironic?
Probably a floral prints that look a little bit older. I don't know.
All right, work on that. Oh, she just took off her wrap, whatever it was. All right, excuse me. Jessica Cook from Minneapolis. Why do you live in Wisconsin? Jessica, what's the intention behind that question? Why do I live in Wisconsin? You know, the nut fell from the tree. Here it is, you know.
Well, I'm the Viking fan living with the Packer fans.
Oh, so. You're with these guys.
Yeah. So.
So? What's your point?
Not much of a point, really.
Okay, really, okay. But you guys certainly come to Wisconsin a lot.
I love Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, you do. Okay.
Yep.
Well, this is just posturing.
Exactly. Where do you think Alec gets it from?
I don't know, but I know where it's going, too. All right, thank you. And you are?
Jessica.
Jessica, ladies and gentlemen. She loves it here. She's just kidding about that. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because some of you didn't get a chance last time, and I can't guarantee you will this time either. But anyone who would think, yes, this gentleman in back there, are you saying, sir, that you would like to play the What Do You Know quiz? I'll meet you down here at this corner if you want to come down there. We'll find out if you qualify, because not everyone does. Can you squeeze through there? Oh, I bet you couldn't. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
And you are?
Jason.
Jason? You just use the one name?
Well, it's Jason with two N's.
Jason with two N's. That's cool. That's kind of hip.
Yeah, I guess my mom was hip, not me.
What do you do these days, Jason?
Well, I'm kind of a jack of all trades, but I'm also a teacher. So congratulations on your retirement. You got out at the right time.
He's a pre-retirement teacher, an unusual friend. Jason, you got to give me one good reason why you should play this quiz.
Well, one of my wife and I's, today's our anniversary, and one of our first dates was to come to this show about 12 and a half years ago.
And you survived it.
You know, oddly enough, that made a good impression.
Yeah, where's your wife?
Right back there.
Yeah. Hi. She's hiding out back there. Okay, all right. That's pretty good, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right. A little encouragement, ladies and gentlemen. It's not easy when you have two N's and your name is Jason. Give it. All right, come on up here. Have a seat there, Jason. Was this the first date? Is that what you're saying?
It was one of our first dates.
Well, yeah. Yeah. What was the one before this?
Well, the one before that, our first date was, we just went and shot darts.
You shot darts?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So naturally, this would be a good follow-up to any, like a dart-throwing date.
Well, yeah, it was a few weeks after that, yeah. But she got a little tipsy when we were shooting darts, and I said, I think we got something to work with here. That was...
Yeah, so that was the first date, or pretty close?
The dart-throwing?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, and she had her own darts, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, she brought her darts to the bar?
She had her own darts.
That's
was
what
awesome.
You want to look for in a mate.
You know, at that stage of my life, that made a pretty good impression.
No, I can see it.
Yeah.
Having your own darts is really a big deal. That's like having your own pool cue, you know, it's one that breaks down in two, and you take it out of, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had my own darts, too.
You had your own darts, too?
Yeah.
This is made in heaven.
Well, we didn't even know that at the time.
No. Did you just meet at that tavern? Or
no,
tavern?
But it just happened that she had her own darts, and I was like, hey, I've got my own too. And, it was just...
It's a basis.
It was a start, yeah.
Yeah. No. So, but where did you meet her before the whole dart incident?
Well, actually, it's a somewhat interesting story.
We'll see.
She's shaking her head.
Well, interesting to us, at least.
Yeah, not to her so much.
We had both of us had other careers, and then we decided to become teachers. Mm-hmm. And we went back to school and studied education. We already had our degrees.
This is before you knew each other?
This was before we knew each other, okay. And we wound up having a class together. Oh. And, she wound up getting a job teaching in Florida, and I, where I am now. And
where are you now?
In a suburb of Milwaukee.
Okay.
And she found out that I was in the area. She had moved back to Wisconsin, also in the Milwaukee area, and she kind of tracked me down. And,
she did?
Yeah, yep.
And so you made an impression.
I guess, you know, a couple of years before that, and
Just from knowing you in class?
Just from knowing me in class. We had talked a couple of times, and then she actually kind of asked me out a little bit, and she was the first time ever. She's batting 1,000.
We can't keep calling her she. What is it?
Laurel.
Laurel. Hey, Laurel. Sorry about
this.
This
wasn't my intention to tell the story.
Sorry, Laurel.
I didn't see this coming.
Let's get to the interesting part now.
She found a Post-it note with my name on it, and that's how she found out I was in the area.
Did you leave them around? Is that a tactic?
Well, it was one out of a million, so somebody was bound to find one, right?
Yeah. She found a Post-it note with your name on it, and that sort of sealed the deal for her, and she looked you up from Florida?
She was already back in Wisconsin at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did she happen to have your Post-it note?
I wanted to take a field trip to a location to Chicago. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No.
And I called her predecessor in the job, and the Post-it note, when she took over that person's materials, was still there with my name on it. And she's like, sticking to a folder or a book or whatever, and said, oh, I know that person.
Yeah.
That's that guy.
Yeah.
And her friend said, if you like him, you're going to have to call him, or I'm not going to talk to you until you do it. So Laurel's, she's more of a shy person, and so that was a big step for her, and it worked out.
Big step. Yeah, for you too, Laurel.
That's so sweet. That's a sweet Post-it story, love story. Come on, it's a love story.
It's a little corny. I don't usually tell it too often.
You know what? You could you could sell that story to the Post-it people.
Maybe.
Imagine that would be a terrific thing. It would be like a series of vignettes.
I think probably somebody heard it and already sold it.
Gone. No, I think that's a special story. That's great. And then you had the one date. Then we got together and then you did the dart thing. And then did you both have what do you know in common then?
Well, you start to have conversations, and you
yeah, but that ends pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it's like, well, no, and then you just find out that you have mutual interests, and then I just said, I'm gonna pick you up on a Saturday morning.
Yeah,
and I'm just gonna surprise you. We're gonna take a little day trip, and that's what I did. And she goes, we're coming here, because she had said that she liked it, and I liked the show too, and. So I thought today was our anniversary. I thought, well, I surprised her again this morning. So
Isn't that great? That's just a touching story. All right. Well, that's very cool. Well, I'm glad you made it back, and I'm glad you made it here in the first place. So I'm glad we helped.
Yeah. You helped a lot, Mike.
Good. Yeah. Let me know if I do anything more I can do, because I'm a radio host. I'm here to help.
I'll think about it.
All right, Jason, someone out there plays along with you. That's how this works, right, Sarah?
That is correct, yep.
Elaborate.
Well, if people would like to play the quiz, they go to their phones, they pick them up, and they dial 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
You know a lot of hipsters, do you?
Oh, unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately?
Yeah, I don't know if I know them. I certainly spot them. They're quite easy to spot, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mike, I thought of something.
Huh?
I thought of some way you could help me.
What?
We're looking to try a new restaurant tonight for dinner here in the Madison area.
I'll cook for you guys. I should cook for you guys.
If you have trouble getting the ingredients for whatever you want to cook, if you could just suggest a nice restaurant
for
us.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Sure. Do you want me to come along? Or would that ruin everything?
Let's just think about it for a little bit. And then,
do you want
you've helped so much already, I don't know.
We'll get you something, that's for sure. Okay. All right, someone out there plays along with you, as I said, and there's a qualifying question. I have it right here. Yes, here it is. If your song gets played on Pandora, Pandora is a service that supposedly gives you tunes that are like the ones you like, but if your song does get played on Pandora 1 million times, how much will you receive in a check for your royalties? Within how many dollars?
500.
Okay.
20.
Or $3 or $4.
$3 or $4. Within $3 or $4.
Within $3 or $4. Okay. Your song gets played a million times on Pandora. What sort of check will you receive in terms of royalties? And I'll tell you, it's not huge. I'll tell you that much. Nichol, was that right?
Howdy.
How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm good. It's Nichol with an N, right?
Correct. That's
okay.
Right.
I didn't get this wrong. Because, you know, Lyle gets things wrong sometimes. And you're there in Guilford.
Right.
Vermont.
Yep.
Are you up in the mountains, or where are you?
Sort of on the edge of the mountains. It's sort of over near the river, the Connecticut River. So we're not quite up in the mountains, but it's sort of hilly around here, yeah.
Yeah, sounds nice. So what do you got planned for today? What's going on in Guilford?
Well, we're having some folks over tomorrow. So actually this morning I made a big pot of chili, and tomorrow this afternoon I'm going to make a pie.
Pot of chili and a pie. What sort of chili do you prefer? What do you make?
It's sort of basic. Well, we lived in Texas for a while, so it's sort of basic Texas chili. It's just sort of meat and spices and tomatoes.
Okay. And pie-wise, what are you thinking?
I'm trying to decide between an apple pie and a cherry blueberry pie.
Ooh, that sounds good because you don't get it all the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
But we're looking. I'll let you know how it comes out.
Okay. And can you, like, pick your own blueberries and stuff around there?
Yes, we can. And actually, the cherries are fresh, too. We don't pick them, but there's a place down south here that has a good selection of
cherries. How many say cherry blueberry? For Nichol. We're all thinking cherry blueberry.
All right. Jason and Laurel should come over for their anniversary.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's see if we get any further in this now. Your song plays on Pandora 1 million times. What sort of a measly little check do you receive for a million plays on Pandora?
I remember hearing something about this. As I recall, somebody got it was like a few tens of dollars. Like
two tens?
I was going to say four, but two sounds good.
So you're saying you only get something around $20 if you plays a million times on Pandora?
That's what I heard.
Well,
just some shockingly, less than the cost of a CD.
Yes, $16.89 you get for a million plays. If you nailed it, Nichol, I don't know how you did it, but you did it. Do you listen to Pandora? Do you have Pandora?
No, actually, I don't. I do a lot of streaming radio.
Oh, yeah.
For instance, that's how I hear you. As a point of fact, I'm actually watching you now.
You are? Oh, you're out watching on the video feed?
Yeah, and I want to say Laurel's pretty cute.
She's the cutest girl here that I can tell.
Yeah. Is the camera on Laurel now? Oh, that's good.
It was earlier.
Is it supposed to be on the host? That's okay. That's okay. Good choice. Nichol, Jason?
Hey, Jason. Happy anniversary.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good luck with your pies.
What do you do out there when you're not baking and cooking, Nichol?
Computer programmer.
You are, yeah.
And a basement woodworker.
Oh, no kidding. What are you working on right now?
I'm trying to get some bookcases. We have like a lot of books right now are sort of piled on tables around our chairs in the living room. So I'm trying to get something to hold those in a more presentable fashion.
Sounds good. Nichol and Jason, guys work together. You collaborate on this. We have these categories that Sarah will tell us. Right
they now. Are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school. Had you been paying attention, science and odds and ends.
Okay, Nichol, what would you like? Pick first one.
Let's say science.
Science, let's say it. Okay, this is science. The smartest artificial intelligence system is only as smart as, one of the following, is it your brother-in-law, a four-year-old, or the guy talking to himself on the bus who does not have a phone? Smartest artificial intelligence so far. Completely artificial intelligent system.
Well, I would guess the least intelligent, which is probably, I don't want to make this sound nasty, but the four-year-old.
Okay. Four-year-old, he says?
Yeah.
I guess that seems like the most credible answer to me, too.
Four-year-old is as smart as a four-year-old, which is actually pretty smart, as the mayor, I think, has proved earlier. But that's as far as they've gotten so far. Okay, so you can have four-year-old or you can have artificial intelligence. That would be?
One right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jason?
I'd like people.
People. Okay. Alrighty.
Percentage of Americans who want to gain weight. 4%, 3%, or 2%?
How close do we have to get with our guess?
I don't know. I gave a lot of latitude earlier. Can't keep doing that. 4%, 3%, or 2% of Americans want to gain weight, not lose it.
Well, to me, it would be the most counterintuitive answer, maybe the 4%.
Ah, counterintuitive. Michael?
I don't like the tone in Michael's voice here.
Let me change it. I don't know what to do with my tone. I only got one tone. I can't really change it. He says 4%. He feels pretty good about it because he's counterintuitive here.
We'll go with Jason.
Yeah, 4%. 67% want to lose weight, and 29% are okay with their weight. So that would be...
2 right and 0 wrong.
Okay.
And what's left is current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Back to you, Nigel.
Let's try places.
Places, okay. How many escalators are there in Wyoming? None, one, or two?
How close do we have to get on this answer, Michael?
Just be counterintuitive. You'll be fine.
I saw somebody had a T-shirt on that said yesterday, it said, escalators are for cowards. And it had something to, it made some reference to
the Wyoming. Really?
Yeah. But I think there are really few.
I would agree with you on that one, Michael.
Talk it over, gentlemen.
Well, I think it would have to be 0 or 1 because that's or why two. It would really, or somewhere really close to that number.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just have a feeling.
Well,
that
you know,
there's
a common perception that may not, in fact, be accurate about the number of elevators in Wyoming. I'll tell you that much. So 0, 1, or 2 elevators in.
Well,
escalators.
Okay.
Pardon me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just have a feeling that the plurality of the people here say escalators, and so I'm going to go with maybe 2 is my guess, if you would agree with that.
Because I didn't say how many escalator is there. Escalator is there in Wyoming. I would have tipped my hand.
Yeah. Far be it from you to tip your hand.
Far be it.
Well, I guess it's in your court there, Michael.
That sounds like 1 to me, if I'm reading the hints right.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You can overthink this, Michael.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm guessing 2 or 0.
Well, you know, we could take the Price is Right approach, and then if you pick 2, you have everything above that as a possible answer. You're the closest one.
That's
Whereas if you take 0 or 1, you only have those possibilities.
And Jason's been right on everything, every guess so far.
So what are you going to say?
2.
2?
I
two
say
is
two.
Right, yes. 2 elevators. They're both in Casper, and they're both in banks. Okay. Okay. All right, that wasn't hard. That was good.
Always, why do I feel tired?
Michael, they have 3 right.
Counterintuitive. They've won.
They have, in fact, won, yes.
Oh, you dropped your pen. You're so excited. While we're at this juncture, explain the juncture we're at, will you?
We're at the motherlode or no motherlode juncture.
Okay.
That means you could risk it all. One more question, with or without hints, with the possibility of going home with the motherlode of prizes.
Is that Michael coming to dinner with us?
I can't speak for him.
No, that's not coming to dinner. All right, so that you get that. You can quit here and win okay prizes. You go for the extra, for the motherlode question, and you win it. You get everything. If you lose it, though, you go home with me.
I'm up for it if you are, Michael.
You bet.
Okay, they're up for it. All the excitement is running high here. It's running high here. So you got to get this right? And what's left?
The categories left are current events, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jason, 2 ends.
I kind of like current events, but, you know, sometimes that can lead you astray. How about you? Or is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Well, this is a collaboration. I don't want to go there if Michael doesn't.
Michael?
I'm fine by that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Current events. Let's see what's in the news here. Yeah, okay. Indiana. I take you now to Indiana.
has suspended its... Oh, you either have to have heard this. Did you hear about this license vanity plates in Indiana? Either one of you? Okay, I'll skip that. All right, sports question. You guys okay with sports? Baseball, for example?
I was out of the country for a while, so if it's current...
They still played it when they you were here, didn't they?
I'm not a sports guy myself.
Okay. Let's go back to the vanity plate. No, let's try this then. No. Okay. It's either sports or Indiana. I'll let you pick.
Let's go sports.
Sports. Okay. This is right out of the news. Who said, what did I say wrong? I want to know what I said wrong. Please tell me. I want everyone to tell me exactly what did I say that was so wrong after saying his $72.5 million contract was a slap in the face. This is a American ball player, possibly playing in Cincinnati, who got a $72.5 million contract and said it was, in fact, a slap in the face.
So I'm inferring that Cincinnati has a team of some sort.
All right, let's look at license plates in Indiana. Another very important category.
I am a native Hoosier.
Okay. All right, yeah. Indiana has suspended its vanity license plates after a challenge to what plate by a law officer? A police officer had a vanity license plate that he had for years and years, and he tried to renew it, and they said, no, this is offensive. He sued, and so they suspended the whole program of vanity plates in Indiana. Right now, you cannot get a vanity plate in Indiana. He was a police officer, and so therefore his plate might have had something to do with that. Perhaps a comment.
So if it was a policeman.
Pejorative, perhaps for some term related to some
so
term.
Oh, so it must have had something
a four-letter,
I'm betting.
Four-letter pejorative that might have been associated with an officer of the law in a humorous fashion because he was one.
Can we,
yes.
If it's, so if it has a
yes.
Four-letter pig.
Yes, yes. Four-letter what?
Four-letter pig, so that says oink.
Oink. You say oink, vanity plate.
I think that sounds great.
That's it, they win!
Jason, celebrate your quiz victory with a bottle of refreshing raspberry wine from the Maple River Winery in historic Appleton, North Dakota, producing fine wines with locally grown fruit since 2002. Nichol, find out the difference between Caucasians and Kazarians among a host of other ethnicities in What Do You Know? By Michael Feldman from Bristol Park Books. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock.
PRI, Public Radio International.